I want Seattle to know we live in a safe city. And I'd like to introduce you to my armed bodyguards to prove my point. I call them Smells Like Seattle Spirits.
We have a lot of data, the way we get data and analyze data. What we do know from looking at the data is, the data is very clear.
It is very clear. Jelly Darka, thank you for making your appearance during Seattle Spirit. So this just came out from the newsroom. We received a tip on this early in the week, and we've been waiting for the Seattle police to give us the arrest report. They've been kind of holding off on those lately, liking to slow down the velocity of these reports. I will read from the police reports. At approximately 1200 hours, I was working as a uniformed patrol officer in a marked patrol vehicle, and I responded to the report of an assault on 4th Avenue and Blanchard Street. Aren't you stunned? 4th and Blanchard. Officer says this is his area, it's his beat, he's familiar with it, it's well known for drug dealing and assaults, and drug trafficking assaults and car prowls. Well known! Weird that we can't stop it. Huh? Radio relayed the following information. Male and female fighting, no weapons. So the officer goes there. Officer notices the suspect. Says, okay, that looks like the lady. She's in the last reported location. Matches the description. Pulls over. Asks the lady to stay with him. A witness pulled up. Said, that's her. That's the lady who did it. Other witnesses came forward, including people from Dan's Belltown Market. I love Dan's Belltown Market. You ever been to Dan's Belltown Market? I used to go there when I used to do business in Seattle before I moved home. So witnesses from Dan's Belltown Market, the family of the person who was assaulted, all said that's the lady who did the assault. I'm assuming it's a lady. Yeah, it is. No, it is a lady. The bad actor here. So here's what's happening. Family, apparently, from out of town, just visiting the area, waiting to go on a cruise. So, of course, they want to go down and see the area around the Space Needle, right? That's exactly right. You want to go down to that area. They go down, and they're walking past Dan's Belltown Market, and this woman comes up and wants money. So they gave her a couple of dollars. She was not satisfied. She said, I want more money. So then she reached into this lady's purse, grabbed approximately 170 bucks in cash and fled the scene. So a bunch of people observed that. A bunch of people saw it happen. They saw the theft. Someone, a stander by, and the name is blanked out in the report, decided to follow the lady and give chase. He found the lady, struggled with the lady, and the lady apparently bit him on the hand bad enough that the bite broke the skin. Okay? So now the suspect fled into a place called El Rey, which is housing for mentally disabled and drug addicted persons. Of course, this is Seattle. We invite people like that to live here responsibility free. So the suspect goes into the front door. She's apparently allowed out the back door, and the police theorize that's where she got rid of the 170 bucks. So she fled the scene. This is where the officer arrived, gave her the Miranda warnings, etc. Now an investigation ensued. The suspect's going to be charged with aggressive panhandling, theft, and assault. Oh, and this. When they checked her record, turns out there's a caution, a flag on her record for assaulting officers. Oh, and this. There's a mental health red flag in there. Of course there's a mental health red flag in there. Nothing's going to get done in these mental health courts because they're packed to the gills with every variety of person who's under the boot of heroin. Every soul who's being crushed by that drug knows they can come here. They know it is legal here. Well, it's not. It's decriminalized. You can take it to your heart's content, shoot up in public, shoot up on buses, shoot up in trains, shoot up in stores, go into honey buckets of construction sites, break into those, commit sex acts, sex traffic, etc. ad nauseum, right? The officer points out that the victim here was distraught over the incident. Yeah, they stopped into town getting ready to go on a cruise. Welcome to Seattle. I went to Travelocity to decide to submit a review about the area around the Space Needle, and I made it safety-based. They kicked that review back five times. refused to let me publish it because they said it was political. So, just so you know, if you happen to look at Travelocity and not be warned about the safety of an area, in my judgment, that's a decision they make, because in my experience, they made that decision about the areas around 4th and Blanchard. And look here, I got to find this couple and find out if they went to Travelocity, because guess what? They could have been warned had my review been published. At least Link Light Rail's stepping up. The Sound Transit, the scam of Sound Transit, they're stepping up. This morning, Lindsay Sheldon from Cairo 7 talked about an incident on a train.
There's a new policy for Link Light Rail operators. It states if there's an arrest or police activity involving physical struggle, operators should immediately radio the Link Control Center and not intervene to aid the officer unless that officer specifically requests assistance.
Wow! That's great. It's great. Wow. Wow. Cool. This is all stemming from the fact that a apparently mentally ill man was walking back and forth on the train, threatening people or acting in a threatening way on the train. Big guy, by the way, pretty big dude. And he's freaking everybody out. A woman who's on the scene said no one knew what was going to happen with this guy. And a female deputy, and she's a battler, man. She's small, but she's a battler. She went in to go try to take this guy down, and apparently she tossed her pepper spray after pepper spraying this suspect, tossed it to a metro or a Sound Transit employee who apparently saw the officer in trouble and tried to step in with the pepper spray so that the officer, you know, wasn't thrown to her back and have her gun taken and, God forbid, be shot by this crazy guy riding the train. Now, Link Light Rail, okay, well, our guys aren't going to step in unless the cop asks for help. Okay, what if the cop can't ask for it because the cop's being choked out? Well, okay, we'll put that aside. Here's my observation. If only there was a way to make sure that street people and crazy people didn't get on the trains, right? Now, homeless people, they need work, get them on the trains. They need to get to work, get them on the trains. Happy to pay for them to ride the trains. Folks in the shelters, get them on the trains, right, if they're being treated. But these mentally ill people, like I just described in the previous story, we don't want them in enclosed spaces like this. I'm sorry. They need help. They need to be committed to, like, Western State. Oh, yeah, never mind. Well, it can't do that because now it's lost its charter. It's lost $53 billion a year. Feds have withdrawn the money. So we'll have to send them somewhere, maybe Jenny Durkin's house. So this guy is acting this way and is making these attacks or looking like he's going to make these attacks. What if we just charged people to get on the choo-choo train? Wait a minute. What if there were turnstiles so only people with money or with a voucher? You think that might be more effective than saying, our new policy is that if a cop's being choked out and can't talk, we'll force our Sound Transit employees to stand and watch. This is the reality of our area. Down in South Park, there's still a neighborhood grappling with what goes on down there. Remember what Jelly Durka's response was to this, by the way, all of the gang activity down in South Park?
Short. Drop that dirk a dirk. Hey, don't drop that
dirk a dirk. She told the people down in South Seattle, relax. I've put the fast press on hiring a community relations person. I'm sure that's a big, big, big relief to this coffee shop owner named Coach Sorens.
It was crushing. To see one of our children be killed.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to lose a child. It is. It's difficult.
Another act of gang violence down in South Seattle. Now, did she ever get that community liaison hired? Because she said she was going to lickety-split get that done. At least we can turn to cooler heads like Pramila PayPal. I mean, she's not going to put up with threats, right?
Is this the best way for Democrats to get their message across? Is this productive?
You know, my productive, she means chasing Mitch McConnell around and saying, you know, where he lives.
I think that people are deeply angry about the fact that kids are in cages and parents.
So, in other words, Pramila J. Powell's cool with it. So, go issue vaguely veiled threats. Pramila PayPal likes it. Don't do it to her. I'm telling you, don't be a jerk, but just know that that's what she wants. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Man, I continue to cast my eye upon the Obama years, and every so often I sit back and say, when will the ruin stop? When will it cease to roll downhill upon us? Maybe never. I'll give you the details on the latest sign of ruin from the rot of the Obama years. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. The podcast, you don't get it yet? Just text the word podcast to 800-465-8770. Text the word podcast there. We'll hook you up. We don't want you to be out there in the cold. Come in. Every now and then, I do an accounting of the Obama years. Every now and then, a story will pop up, and it's in my hands, and it reminds me of the Obama trend of let's give more stuff away.
I believe that public colleges and universities should be tuition free.
I think about how it spread out here to the spineless wonder, the failed mayor, Jelly Durka.
What a vibrant city we have, and how many of the solutions are right here if we invest in them. And we
never mind.
Invest smartly.
Yeah, smartly.
And there is no better investment can make as a city than in the education of our young people.
And by that, she means forcing the taxpayer to underwrite college. The latest numbers from the American Association of University Women, which is, by the way, sounds like a leftist group that advocates for equity in education for women and girls, despite the fact that women and girls now make up 56% of students enrolled in college, hold $1.5 trillion in debt. Well, or the over half of that. The student loan debt in our country, $1.5 trillion. This is now coming from the Federal Reserve data. Our national debt for our entire nation is about $21 trillion. These guys are in debt $1.5 trillion, but it's not them. That's not their debt. Ultimately, it's your debt. It happens that women, that's why it was the American Association of University Women, that's why they put out this this report, this study. Women borrow more money to attend college. They take out bigger loans to attend college. They also, this is weird because normally women have better credit ratings. Women are repaying their debt more slowly, which of course means that they build up more interest over time. This is not their debt, though, ultimately. It'd be nice if they paid it, but as part of Obamacare. As part of Obamacare. The college debt in this country was largely restructured onto your backs. Unless you're from, this is so bizarre, but unless you're from the state of Nebraska, which was the Cornhusker kickback to get, what's his name, Ben Whitehorse Nelson, was that it, to back Obamacare. They basically outlawed private student loans. It's almost impossible to get a private student loan because Obama wanted it all amassed under the government. Why? So he could use it. When your college education and that debt is owned by the government, there are years of reasons for you to vote for bigger government. there's a billion ways, or in this case, 1.5 trillion ways for the government to con you and to blackmail you. Look, you know, Republicans, they want to raise the rate on student debt. It is unconscionable. Look, in a country as large as ours, it is insane. It is insulting that Republicans want people to who borrowed the money to pay the money back. It shouldn't be the people who borrowed the money. They were forced to borrow the money because someone said borrow money. And anytime someone says borrow money, most people will borrow the money. That's how capitalism works. In fact, when my wife bankrupted a college, she didn't want to take the loans, but she was sitting there in the coffee shop, and it was fair trade. I'm telling you right, that was all. It was the fairest trade available, because sometimes there's not always purely fair trade available. And she was drinking the fairest trade available, and someone came up and said, "Borrow money," and it was a capitalist, and she borrowed the money, bankrupted the college. So this $1.5 trillion, most of it's on you. Now, if you didn't go to college, how do you feel? If you didn't make it through college, how do you feel? If you are paying off your private student loans that have probably been rolled up into a government program, by the way, how does it feel to know the $1.5 trillion is on your head? Further to this story, when this pops, and it will, the housing bubble will look like a little spit bubble. This is going to look like the bubble that ate the universe. Why do I think it's going to pop? Because the value of a college education is decreasing every single day. Because the market has been glutted. Because it's no longer special to have one. Because the government, in conjunction with big college, has now created situations where you need to have a college degree to be a waiter. No offense to waiters, it's an important job. You can make good money at it, but you don't need college. It has glutted the market because that's what monopolists do. The rates for college, meanwhile, as the return on investment has gone down, the rates for going to college have gone up. We are now putting people in college who have very little hope of graduating, because that's what social justice means, into programs that you pay for that do not, in fact, return job skills, but instead return the skills of an agitator and a divider. That $1.5 trillion is going to pop one day, and it's going to make the housing crisis seem like a song from above. And what's the media interested in investigating?
I'm just going to ask a couple of quick questions. Okay. At the presentation, we were told again that we had qualified for this complimentary travel, right?
Free tickets. Scams and airline tickets. That's the focus, not this coming bubble. Unbelievable. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. The Democrats, I can confirm, we've done the research, the data is in. They're having a sad. They're sad. Ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats are having a sad. And now, to help them with their sad, producer Tom, and I don't think you know this, is an excellent triangle player. So is our good friend, Julio Ramada. Plays the piano. Tom will join him on the triangle. CNN. Jeffrey Toobin reflecting upon the fact that this week Hillary Clinton once again named no nominee for the Supreme Court of the United States.
You know who the chief judge of the D.C. Circuit is? It's Merrick Garland. How do you think he feels today? I mean, Merrick Garland is a class act. He's moved on with his life. But, you know, the idea that he never got the moment that that Kavanaugh is going to get him, and he got the moment of being announced, but he never got. The other person is
Trump's sister.
Trump's sister, whose advice was not taken. But Hillary Clinton. I mean, Brett Kavanaugh made his name by investigating not just the star, you know, not just Whitewater, but the Monica Lewinsky part.
So true. So true. The tragedy. That a woman who has cheated billions of dollars from the United States of America did not get to name the next Supreme Court Justice nominee.
Jeffrey Toobin continued on CNN, bemoaning the stupidity of the founders of our country.
When the Constitution was written in the late 18th century, people were expected to die in their 50s. The framers never contemplated that these terms would regularly go to 30 plus years as they do now. And, you know, that I'm glad everybody's living longer, but that's what raises the stakes on these these nomination fights so much more, because they serve for so long.
Certainly. The framers, many of whom were inventors and visionaries, investigators, if not practitioners of science, never foresaw an improvement in technologies. George Washington, who owned an impressive series of patents, never could have foreseen the growth in technologies. Thomas Jefferson, who, when he sent Lewis and Clark West, asked them to make sure that in addition to documenting the wildlife and the way that the tribes lived, to investigate their medicinal approaches, because they'd kept themselves healthy and strong, somehow living in the wild, and he wanted that knowledge. Certainly, men and women like that could never have foreseen a growth in our rate of aging, an expansion of our lives. Couldn't have been done, Jeffrey Toobin points out. The left is having a sad... But it's not just sadness. No. No. As Tom winds the music down, it's also anger. Did you hear him playing the triangle? He's really good. On MSNBC, a certain clown, last name Fallon, sort of flipped out at the prospect of a Justice Kavanaugh.
In addition to the president's litmus test, Brett Kavanaugh himself has given speeches praising the dissent in the Roe v. Wade case. On ACA,
What? This is an outrage! This makes me sick. Listen to what Brett Kavanaugh did.
In addition to the president's litmus test, Brett Kavanaugh himself has given speeches praising the dissent in the Roe v. Wade case. On ACA, Brett Kavanaugh did not join the opinion upholding the ACA when it came before the D.C. Circuit. And in fact, he gave a speech criticizing the rationale Justice Roberts used to uphold the ACA.
What? Brett Kavanaugh disagreed with John Roberts, who, according to my source, who is as close to the Supreme Court as you can be without being on the Supreme Court. And I mean, I wish I could tell you, but I can't. Who told me the night before Roberts changed his mind about Obamacare, wrote to me and said, they got to Roberts, he's flipped, he's writing a new opinion. I tried to get this person to say more, but the person said, I'd be in trouble already, I've got to stop. As close as you can be to the Supreme Court without sitting on the Supreme Court, this person told me this, and it came true. So it's from sadness to anger to now rage, and who's this impressing exactly? Who out there is having a mind changed? The Supreme Court means this. It means predictability. The best way to describe predictability to people who are wondering, because if you've got friends and you've got friends who are independent and they're saying, man, I just don't get these hardcore right-wing Republican, you know, approaches, attacks to the court. Explain to them this, particularly if they're questioning, wait, why do you guys always just want to stick to the Constitution as it is? Can it grow? Explain to them this. If you get pulled over by a police officer, would it be okay for you if the following conversation occurred? Hello, officer. Why may I ask why you pulled me over, please? God, you know what? I hate these cars that you're driving. I hate them. I always been a Dodge guy. Mopars, I'm okay with Fords, but the Chevys, just they I hate them. I hate Chevys. I see you're driving a Chevy. So I pulled, is that illegal? You know what? We used to have these rules, and it got to be a real drag because I'd see the Chevys. I couldn't pull the Chevys over. Then I mentioned I'm a Mopar guy, though I can stand Fords. Or do you want the officer to say, I observed you make several unsafe lane changes. In addition to it looked like you were weaving in through the lanes a little bit. I became concerned that you might be driving while impaired, so I'd like your license, registration, and proof of insurance. Which role do you want to live in? One is originalism of the Constitution. The other is constructionism, reconstructionism, revisionism. We will wrap the day up with a personal note on the Todd Herman Show. We come back. I don't know about this personal note. I'm a little afraid. You know, sometimes I don't plan out what I'm going to say, but it occurred to me what I want to say. I have to be kind of careful on this one. I hope you'll understand.
Down on Main Street. Down on Main Street.
Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Thank you for listening here on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side 94.5 FM. Huge, huge shout out to our folks who listen on the podcast. Today, our first check-in. I don't know that it's our first listener, but our first check-in from the state of Mississippi, one of the states to which I've not been, one of two states, the United States, that I've not visited and hope to get there one day. So thank you very much for the note. On a personal note tonight, my daughter has been really getting through some tough times. At heart, she's a fighter. At heart, I know that. She doesn't want to admit it, but she's like me. She's an iconoclast. That is someone who has a desire to sort of tear down existing icons that don't deserve their status. And for her, it's a lot of how girls are treated in the world. Now, I'm not talking about feminism. In fact, she sometimes jokes about radical feminists and sees them for sort of the extremists they can be. But it is really about the justice of how girls are treated, sometimes by girls, sometimes by women, and often by the media. She's someone who, when she chooses to speak her mind, is capable of a great surprise. Now, you know this, and maybe you're like me. When your kids are going through remarkably tough periods of time, it is easy to feel a failure. And I have felt that way. Now, my daughter is lovely. She is talented. She is a terrific artist. When she was deciding to compete as an athlete, she was absolutely formidable as an athlete, nationally ranked person who competed with people who are true national champions and learned from them. She's someone who has a great mind for justice. When she decides to speak, as I was saying, sometimes it's just amazing the things she says. So she inherited some money from my mom's husband, who was really the only grandpa that my daughter got to know. She did not get to know my father, and probably for the better, she didn't get to know my wife's father. I wish she'd gotten to know mine. But she inherited this money. And so we were signing the check and getting ready to have her put it in her bank account. And then we're talking about what to do with it. It's not a huge amount of money, but it's significant and for her. So I suggested that she invest it instead of just putting it in a savings account. So we talked about some investments. And I asked her, I said, where would you invest it? I was figuring she'd say, oh, Instagram or Snapchat or something along those lines. And she sat there for a second. She said, well, Amazon.com. I said, really? Wow, their stock is pretty high right now. Why would you want to buy into that right now? I mean, this is a teenage girl, right? You'd think she'd choose these other things. So she says, Amazon.com. And I said, you know, so again, why would you choose that? That stock's high. And she said, well, Dad, I really think Amazon.com is going to dominate the drone business. I think they're going to dominate delivery and probably even they'll make their own cars and trucks and drone airplanes. Like, I would have gotten less reasonable responses from a lot of adults. I mean, and she just spoke these words like as if she'd been sitting around thinking about investment strategies. So even in the midst of this horrifically hard time, this mind, this intelligence shines through. And in this conversation, she shared with me something. She is really into memes and meme culture. And she shared with me a meme about the worst traits of people's birth signs, astrological signs. So she shared with me my astrological sign and our worst traits. And it's sort of satirical, but in satire sometimes, in comedy, lay truth. To synopsize what they wrote about me is that I am a person, or people like me are people who confuse bonding and caring with controlling the outcome of circumstances. That we are planners and plotters and strategists to the core, and that includes our home life, and we tend to confuse controlling the outcome of events for others as bonding or caring. Oh. And she presented this in a really lighthearted, very loving way. And I said, is that sort of accurate? She said, yeah. I said, but you've told me that I feel like I have been a helicopter parent. You've told me no. She goes, no, that's different. That's different. This is trying to control. It's not doing things for people. It's trying to control. And my friends, the stupid meme was right. My core deficiency as a dad, you ever examine yours? My core deficiency has been the thing that I never thought would be the case. Trying to shield my kid from failure. I never thought that would be the case. Trying to control outcomes rather than letting outcomes unfold. And to have it presented to me in a meme, right, by my wonderfully brilliant daughter, and in that way. And can I tell you, I don't think that was accidental. I don't. I think that my beloved daughter probably had found that meme, probably had kept that meme, probably had been waiting for a time to present that meme in a way that she could say to her dad, even in this tough time, maybe you need to do the hardest possible thing, and that is to let go. Isn't that hard? To not try to control outcomes, to allow failure to occur. So I asked her, you think I have a strong, hard streak of the of control freakism? She said, yeah, kind of. And I put my hands on her, on her shoulders and on her cheek, and I said, I have a really bad case of loving you so deeply and wanting you to be happy. But I can see your point. I think you're right. So here's the deal, you guys. I would appreciate your prayers that I get the wisdom to back off, to allow to unfold, not to the point of danger, but isn't that the line we walk? Isn't that the line we walk? And that I allow my daughter to do what I know she's capable of doing. And I know it. Intellectually, I know it. She's capable of getting through this hard time, this challenge, and asking for support when she wants it, but not being pushed into taking it. It's a hard line. I'd appreciate your prayers. This is the Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. I'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Be well, be strong, and be kind.